Here am I, send me, send me, send me. Here am I holding what 103 or so years ago was the only defense that the world had against viruses. Before we had antiviral medications, before we had anything else, quarantines and masks. It's kind of funny that 100 years later, when this whole thing started, this was just about the only defense we had. And it's also so strange that this little piece of paper and elastic has become politicized and almost an emblem, a flag of the culture wars going on in our country and even around the world. To wear a mask or not to wear a mask? This is the question. It used to be or not to be? That is the question. It used to be as Christians that it was, no, not my rights, but the gospel. That is the question and the answer. The Apostle Paul writes, and he asks the question, don't we have the right? He talks about the right of food and drink. Don't we have the right? Seven times he mentions the rights that he has as an apostle in those first 15 verses or so. Have you ever thought about what rights really are? They're legal, they're moral guarantees that we can engage and have certain benefits, certain possessions, certain engage in certain behaviors. But you already knew that, didn't you? I mean, of every country on the earth, I suppose the United States of America knows more about rights than anybody else. Why, even our Declaration of Independence brought them up. The right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are inalienable rights given us by our Creator. We have the Bill of Rights, which talks about our right to bear arms and so much more. Yes, an awful lot in the news about our rights and our authorities, the government's authority to mandate masks or viruses, and whether it's right or not versus the rights of citizens to live freely and go without a mask. So much talk about rights. And one wise person once said, if everybody's right, pretty soon there won't be anyone left. Now, what do we mean by that? What I mean is that eventually, if we're always claiming and asserting our rights, then eventually there's going to be some kind of conflict between your rights and mine, between mine and everyone else's. And as crazy as it sounds, this is what the Apostle Paul was talking about. Asserting rights versus living out the gospel. He has said, I have the right to make my living from the gospel work. I have a right to bring a wife along if I had one, but I'm not asserting my rights, Paul says, because I'm motivated by something bigger. I'm motivated and moved and stirred and working because of something better than just my rights. And I want to say to you, to all of us, to myself, we Christians have a bigger and better motivation than just our rights. Just the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I think it's a good thing for us to remember that once in a while. Our big motivation, Paul's big motivation, what is it? Well, he tells us in verse 12. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 12, we read, we do not use this right or any of our rights. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the greatest motivator, the gospel. The gospel that we don't deserve anything, but God gives everything. And before we really dig on the gospel, let's hear and understand again. Let's really realize this. If we are obsessed with maintaining and exercising our rights, that is a turn back to the self-centeredness of sin that got us in this mess to begin with, that ruined humanity, and it cost Jesus Christ his life. No, we can't be obsessed with that. You know, just imagine. Imagine if Jesus decided to be rights-focused. Imagine that. Hey, Father, I know you love all these people. I know we had a plan, but it is my right as the Son of God to stay up here in heaven, to avoid sin, to be worshiped and glorified always at your side. It is my right, isn't it? That you know, I don't want to suffer for them. They exercised their rights to life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, and it led them towards sin. And I think that you showed them a way out of it. You showed it by your love and by your covenants, by your very law and word, and they chose to turn away from that. They exercised their rights, so why shouldn't I exercise mine? Now, I have the right to stay with you, Father, and so I am. I'm not going to go down there and die for them. I'm going to stay right here. Imagine if Jesus was rights focused. But Paul's motivation and our motivation today is this gospel that Jesus lived and taught and died and rose again to give us. That Jesus did not have to come, but that he chose to come in love and to lay down his life for us. He was willing to do the Father's will rather than his own thing and his own rights. He was willing to do that, to suffer, to die, to even absorb into himself all of our sins, all of the disease of our sin and our selfishness, absorbing all of that to give us the full rights and privileges of being a child of God, to live forever, to be just like Jesus. He gave up his rights to give us those rights. He gave up his life to make us alive forever. He gave up his righteousness in heaven to give that to us as our eternal gift. And so today in 1 Corinthians 9, God is asking us, so his sacrifice for your sins. Now you have the full rights and privileges of being a child of the Heavenly Father. And what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that gift, that adoption, that wiping with a slate clean and being set free to be his loved child? I'll give you a hint. If we go back to saying, well, that means now I get to live free and do whatever I want, we're heading on the wrong path. But if instead, if our greatest blessing isn't just the rights we've been given, but it is also to have the same blessing and joy that Jesus did. Do you remember his great joy when he said to his disciples, I didn't come here to be served, but to serve, to give my life as a ransom for many. Do you hear his great joy when he said in the gospel lesson, all of this had to happen. Me laying down my rights was to give the right and privileges to be children of God in heaven. But as the Father sent me, I'm going to go send you. And your greatest joy is not going to be exercising your rights and privileges. It's going to be joining in the work that God gave us to do. To join in that gospel-centered work. The great blessing is to use that freedom, to use it, to join God's work. When a doctor, a woman or a man, goes through medical school, they don't do it so they can stand around and have the right and privilege of wearing one of those nice white coats with a stethoscope around their neck. They do it to care, to heal, to save human life. When an athlete gets ready in the Olympic Games and they train and they train and they train, they don't do it just so they can have the ripped muscles and show up on a magazine cover. They do it because they want to win the prize, to actually run the race. And for you and me as believers, it isn't just that we get to go to heaven as great as that future will be. It's that we get to bring the hope of heaven to the people around us. As we live out that love, as we reach out to more people. And that is what Paul was talking about when he said, I become all things to all people so that by all means possible, I might save some. I do it because of the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings. We've received those blessings. But the greater blessing of all is when we share it with someone else And we get that same joy of Jesus, of watching the light bulb go on, of watching someone take one more step closer to peace and away from shame, one more step closer to hope and away from hopelessness. Let's not just be satisfied with the easy fruit of having freedom and rights now as children of God. Let's seek the great joy and the satisfaction of sharing in its blessings with other people. You know, in Hawaii, where Mary Beth and I were for our anniversary last week, we were snorkeling along, and down at the bottom, about 30 or so feet deep in the water, I saw this. It's a little underwater camera, you know, you record your adventures, and I thought, wow, how cool. I wonder if it still works. And, you know, if I wanted to assert my rights, I think somewhere in like the 23rd Amendment of the Constitution, it says finders keepers, losers weepers. But I thought, rather than me get a camera, what would it be like to share the joy of finding the family who lost this, whose memories with their little girls are, and their maybe once in a lifetime vacation are on that camera? And I'm finding a whole lot more joy in doing the detective work. They're from Baltimore. They came here on this day and they left on that day, or at least the camera died at the bottom of the ocean on that day, and reaching out to the news networks in Baltimore. I'm finding so much more joy in this conspiracy of trying to get this back to them than I ever would have gotten if I said, oh, finders keepers, I got a camera. And it's going to be the same way for us, friends. We will find far more joy when we share a blessing in the grocery store, when we lift up a prayer with a neighbor, when we invite one more person to come close and learn of the goodness that is ours through the gospel of Jesus Christ. May God help us share that blessing even as we have received it. Amen.